Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trundle Bed Tales. And today's episode is going to be Travel Times New Orleans. Welcome to Trundle Bed Tales, the podcast about Laura Ingalls Wilder, historic foodways, one-room schools, and other social history. This is Sarah Utoff, the host and creator of Trundle Bed Tales. Find us all around the web under Trundle Bed Tales and on your favorite social media platform. If you listen or just have an account on a podcast system, please leave positive feedback because that helps people find the show. And today's episode is a Travel Times, and if you haven't listened before, occasionally I do an episode where I'm talking about either a place to visit with someone who likes to go there, or something that is more like a hobby, like reenacting, or I'm trying to think of another good example. Oh, we talked about the picking up trash along the river. So we've got episodes like that from time to time, and today's is going to be talking about New Orleans. But before we get in that, let's do just a little housekeeping. And I wanted to remind you that if you want to be part of the show, you can call in at 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253. Or you can chat while we're live. And today's episode, as I say, we're going to be talking about New Orleans, but we had an episode Friday talking about the roundup of Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom in 2022. If you haven't heard that yet, I urge you to go back there. We had another video drop on Friday, and this one was about the wind in the trees on the way to the dugout. So I think we've continued to have some good things there, and we are doing excellent that we are getting this many episodes in this month, and I hope we can keep going on that. And I think that's all I have for housekeeping today, so and I have two special guests here with me today. And the first one is my friend Kelly, who, if you watch my videos, you saw her in the video that I did about going to Rossville a little bit, and she'll be more in the Marth Lane one if I ever get it edited together. Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Sarah. I'm Kelly Pelzel, and I have known Sarah for many, many years. I worked with her at Usher's Ferry Historic Village. I know she's mentioned that on the show a couple times, she worked there when she was younger, and so did I, and that's where we became friends and have stayed friends through the years. And Sarah's recently, after many years of talking about the Laura home sites, gotten me a little interested in visiting some of them. So I've been to a few here in the last couple of years.
Yes, and we had a fun trip, and we're going to have to do another one sometime because she's still got places she hasn't gone yet. Do you want to say just a little bit about why I'm having you talk about New Orleans?
Well, I was really inspired, Sarah, by your show maybe about a year ago that was on like planning your Laura trip and kind of like thinking through like the planning process and what you got to do to make a successful trip. And it really kind of helped me to organize my thinking on things that I have done or could be doing to make successful trips, particularly when traveling with other people. And I think, yeah, that was, I think about a year ago, and it was right before my last trip to New Orleans with my family. I've been once since then as well. And then we were talking about maybe I could come in and share some of the specifics for going to New Orleans.
Well, I am excited. Did you want me to bring in Tracy now, or do you want to talk yourself first and then we'll bring her in?
Oh, no, bring in Tracy now.
Okay.
That'd be great.
So with that, hello, Tracy. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Kelly. And hello, everyone. I'm Tracy Vozar. I'm joining y'all from D.C. today, which is where I currently live, although at least 90% of me is in New Orleans at any given time, and especially today during Mardi Gras weekend. So I'm thrilled to be joining you all to talk about my favorite place on earth.
Well, I'm so glad to have two people who've made multiple trips there, because I think the best way to get to find out about a place isn't talking to, you know, like the tourism people. It's talking about people who love to go. So let's get started. Kelly, when do you think is the best time to go to New Orleans?
Well, I'd say there's kind of two things to consider when thinking about when you want to go. First is the weather and the seasons of the year, and thinking about, first of all, how hot it gets in the South in the summertime. I've never been there in the summertime, and I don't think I will ever go there in the summertime. I was once there in a particularly hot late October. I mean, they had locals commented on how hot it was. And, you know, we got through it, but it was pretty miserable. I think normally fall is a lovely time to visit. The last trip that I had with my family in last March, I thought the weather was just exceptional. That was spring break time, so mid-March here. And so that's one thing to consider. The other thing to consider is the festival season. You know, much like you talked about when planning your Laura trips, there's many, many, many festivals in New Orleans across the year, but some of the big ones are, I think, French Quarter Fest in the fall and Jazz Fest in the spring, and then, of course, carnival season in the late winter. So you have to make some decisions about whether you want to visit during those types of events or want to have a quieter type of experience. So, you know, those are all kind of up to what your personal preference is. And I've been there during Jazz Fest before, and it is very busy, but very cool as well.
Yes, it is always a question whether you want to go when something else is going on, because going when there's, you know, a festival, no matter where you're going, means there's a lot more stuff to do, but there's a lot more people, which is not something that's fun in my book. You know, I've talked about Disney trips before, and we keep trying to go on the quietest times, the calendar says, and it's like they know that, and more people than usual come every single time. But Tracy, do you agree, is that when it's best to go down to New Orleans?
Well, I'm laughing that you bring up Disney, because that's something that we share in common, Sarah, is I'm also an absolute Disney fanatic, and sitting in front of me are a bunch of my Disney pins. I actually think planning a trip to Disney and planning a trip to New Orleans is surprisingly similar. So you can try to avoid the crowds, and you can kind of look at the yearly calendar. What I'll say is, COVID has really changed the calendar a little bit in New Orleans, just like Disney. So French Quarter Fest, for example, I think it's back on its regular schedule now of being in April, March and April, right before Jazz Fest. So during COVID, it switched to the fall because we lost one in there, just like there was a year where Mardi Gras didn't happen during the pandemic as well. So just when you're planning your trip, think about, okay, let me look at the updated New Orleans calendar. Let me see what's going on while I'm going to be there. The funny thing about the summer is, so my family and I have lived in New Orleans twice. And the funny thing about the summer is that they've sort of figured it out, the New Orleans tourism folks. And there's a different festival every single weekend of the summer, including the one weekend where there wasn't a festival, which they decided to declare Festival Fest, where they celebrate all of the other festivals of the summer and around the year during that one weekend where they didn't have an identified festival. But, you know, some of them are very small. So the ones Kelly mentioned, Jazz Fest, French Quarter Fest, which it was originally for locals but has really blown up in recent years. Mardi Gras, of course, which folks may not realize actually goes on for several weeks leading up to Mardi Gras Day. Those are all going to be the busiest times of the year. Halloween is actually fantastic. There's a parade that's very similar to Mardi Gras, but it's just the one parade, so you're not quite so inundated if you want to avoid the crowds. But it's fantastic for kids, and New Orleanians really go above and beyond for Halloween. And there's also Voodoo Fest, which is a similar music festival to Jazz Fest, but again, just a little smaller, a little less well-known, but really incredible big-name bands. And, of course, a lot of our local New Orleanian musicians will play those festivals as well, which is just fantastic. So thinking about when and where you want to be there, depending on what you're looking for.
Okay, well, let's talk about how to get to New Orleans. What do you think is the best way to get there, Kelly?
Well, I have only ever flown there, and the airport is Louis Armstrong Airport. It's not particularly close to downtown, but it's not horrible to get in and out of town to downtown. And I would not say it's a particularly it's not a big airport. It's not particularly fast in terms of security and things like that. So, you know, maybe I've just had bad luck, but I always feel like, yeah, I want to give myself a little time cushion when I'm thinking about when to get to the airport when I'm there. Another option, and this is definitely on my list, would be to take the train to New Orleans. So I think there's two trains, actually, that Amtrak runs on their distance routes. So the city of New Orleans, and that'd be the one that I would take that winds down, starts in Chicago and winds down through Illinois and then destination south. I think has a big stop in Memphis. I've taken some long distance routes before, but not that one. So one of these times that's going to be how I get there. And then the other, I think, long distance route is the Sunset Limited, which runs along the southern border of the country. I'd have to look this up, but I think it might terminate in New Orleans. It might go a little farther east now. They had it stopped, but I think maybe they are jumping it over to Florida again, you know, as one of those things that is reopening after the pandemic. You know, what I was going to say is I haven't driven there with a car either. I would think, I don't think you really need a car there. And I think, I don't know, it seems like it would just cause a lot of challenges in terms of parking. And the only time I've had a vehicle there was I went once for a vintage Vespa scooter rally down there, and a very wonderful, kind local scooterist loaned us a Vespa motor scooter to get around for the weekend, which was great because they're not nearly so challenging to park. If you're going through the French Quarter, which is just looks like kind of a nightmare in a car, scooter not so bad because you can, if you're up to it, you can split lanes and such to get where you need to go. So anyway, other than a scooter, I don't know if I'd ever take a vehicle through New Orleans.
How about you, Tracy? How do you recommend getting down there?
Oh, I completely agree with Kelly. Kelly, sometime we all need to take the train together because that would be right up my alley, and I've never done it. we usually fly. We have driven in and out when we were making moves to and from New Orleans, and we've also driven from New Orleans to Disney, for example, but we were living there at the time. Parking is notoriously difficult in and around New Orleans, but there's lots of great public transportation options, not to mention the streetcar. So I happen to just love and adore the streetcar. It will get you from one side of the city proper all the way to the other. And then whenever we're there, for example, we were just there last weekend, even with my family of five who were traveling with me, we take Ubers and Lyfts just about everywhere we need to go that isn't on the public transportation route. And I don't know, it's kind of lovely to meet our drivers and talk with them about local culture and get their sense of what's been going on in New Orleans. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I've done as well, is either cabs or Ubers or Lyfts, and along with the streetcar. And then the bus system is really good there. It's really inexpensive. So the times I've gone there and been there, particularly with other people, we've always bought they call it Jazzy Pass, but the pass that gets you on the streetcar, the bus, the commuter ferry, which you're like, why would I take the commuter ferry? But if you want to like get out on the river, but not have to like pay like for the tourist riverboat kind of thing, but you just want to get on the river for a little while, like the commuter ferry over to the West Bank, Algiers Point is a great way to get out on the Mississippi for a few moments and then just ride it back across. Maybe get some drinks or something to eat out at Algiers Point and come back. And that's a lovely afternoon.
And people from, you know, up the upper Midwest up here think of the Mississippi River as something that you can clearly see one bank to the other and it isn't that far across. And New Orleans, as I understand it, it's very far across. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not horrible, though. It's not a long, long trip across there. I don't know. What do you think, Tracy?
Yeah, not too long. I'll say it's a wider spot. There's certainly wider spots of the Mississippi further around New Orleans, too. And that's kind of a neat thing. If you did have a car or if you rented a car, you can actually get to some neat spots around New Orleans, including some beaches, which is kind of fun. So you could go to one of the Gulf Shore beaches. You can go to Grand Isle, which is through the swamp. So you kind of get some really neat scenery if you do those things and get a sense of what the environment looks like outside of downtown New Orleans. You can also
right,
do
and
that
all the,
with
all the
boat as well.
I'm
yeah,
sorry to jump on it. I was just say all the fishing rigs and everything, like driving
mm-hmm.
down to the Gulf. It's really interesting. I guess we did have a car that same time we had the Lender scooter. We just did like, you know, a one day rental or something and drove down to the beach. But I remember the drive much more than the beach itself. Just all the cool things along the way.
Same, absolutely. And you can take a swamp boat tour, too, if you want to get out and just kind of see the swampland around New Orleans. They'll pick you up downtown. So you definitely don't have to have a vehicle to have this, but something to keep in mind.
And New Orleans is very, very walkable.
Yeah.
And, okay, there are some points that are really far away. I think you both will appreciate this, but there's this episode of, Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where they're back in mm-hmm. New Orleans, and they, like, talk about taking this short walk from the French Quarter to Audubon Park, and that would actually be quite a long walk. I think that'd be around 6 miles, so you probably wouldn't want to walk that. Most people wouldn't, but, yeah, so it's not all quite all together, but it's closer than you think for a lot of things in a lot of neighborhoods.
And it's fun walk. Absolutely. So you see so much when you're just walking around and you meet so many people, and there's certainly lots of opportunities to stop into places and grab a bite to eat or a drink and keep going along your way. It's really a fun town to explore and even get a little bit lost in.
Well, hopefully not too lost. I always like to know where I'm heading. I get lost enough knowing exactly where I'm heading. So as I understand it, a lot of the tourist desk is pretty close together. Is that right? Kind of around the French Quarter?
Yes, and then also kind of into some of the adjacent neighborhoods. So the Central Business District butts up against the French Quarter and the Garden District after that, the Warehouse District as you're moving toward the river. They all contained a lot of things that I guess would be like, you know, things that tourists would go and see and museums and such. And then on the other side of the French Quarter, Frenchman Street, and I'm blanking on the name of that neighborhood, Tracy.
The Marigny, but and then the Bywater
the
is
yes.
just past the Marigny.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And so, yeah, they are all, you know, it all kind of comprises downtown. And then a little farther out would be like the Audubon Zoo, which is in Audubon Park, and the Tulane campus, and of course there's some wonderful places to eat out that way as well. But that would probably be a cab ride or a streetcar ride out that way.
Yeah, what's nice is the streetcar does stop right there, and on one side of the streetcar is Audubon Park, which is a beautiful park leading to Audubon Zoo, which is phenomenal. Other side of that streetcar stop is Tulane's campus as well as Loyola's campus. So it's kind of a nice little area. And if you take that streetcar all the way down, you hit Oak Street, which is where my favorite restaurant on earth, which is saying something because I love to eat, is. And that's Giacomo's. And Giacomo's is just phenomenal food and a really fun environment right next to the Maple Leaf Bar, which is kind of a known New Orleans establishment, as well as having just phenomenal local live music.
And the World War II Museum is also in New Orleans. It's on my life goals list. Have either of you been there?
Yes, we were there at spring break last year, and it is really, really well done. It was a very crowded day, I think, just with spring break and people getting out and about after the pandemic. But yeah, it has some very interactive and very, very well-designed to make you feel as though you're there. Exhibits, both for the European and the Pacific theaters. The hangar where they have the fighter planes, I mean, it is exceptionally well done, as well done as the things that I saw in the Smithsonian, in terms of how to view all those things. And it's growing. So I think I didn't get as many places as my husband and my older son, because I was with my younger son, and he'd kind of had it. I think some of the buildings, like my son had gone in and they were like saying like what they're going to be doing next. And it was some pretty cool things in terms of kind of applying things that we learned from World War II to more modern day problems. So I think it feels as though it's a very active museum that's growing and changing all the time.
Absolutely. And it has an incredible restaurant there on site, as well as being located right in the Central Business District with a bunch of excellent restaurants right around. My father-in-law, who's recently retired, long-term special forces veteran, he is really impressed with the museum, and actually they want to go back to spend more time because you really can't see everything that the museum has to offer, even in a single day.
You could be there all day.
Just to the museum in a weekend, for example. But they put on great shows. They have new exhibits, and all of the exhibits are just super high quality, and it's in a great part of town, too.
And there's a bunch of other little museums. Well, maybe they're not that little, but there's other museums that are in that same area of the Central Business District. So, you know, if you had someone along with you that wasn't as interested in World War II, I think there would be plenty for them to do in that same area within, you know, a block or two of where you were at if you were at the World War II Museum and they were somewhere else.
Oh, absolutely. Sazerac House is just down the street, and it's actually a very cool interactive museum / kind of homage to the Sazerac, which is the state drink of Louisiana. And it's a really, it's a new museum. It's beautiful. And then right there is actually the French Quarter. So you could very easily kind of divide and conquer that whole part of town. The other area of town that has a number of gorgeous museums is City Park. And you can take the streetcar straight from the French Quarter area on Canal Street and take it straight up to City Park and go to a brand new children's museum. There's an old children's museum very close to now where the World War II Museum is, but they've opened their new campus in City Park. And there's beautiful sculpture gardens and the New Orleans Museum of Art, which is fantastic, as well as a number of other sites and parks and things to see right down there at City Park.
Well, I know you have some restaurants you wanted to talk about in particular, but before we do that, what foods do you think that you have to try to really say you had a New Orleans trip?
You know,
Homer
Simpson probably does it best. There's actually an episode of The Simpsons where there's a montage of Homer eating in just about every famous New Orleanian restaurant, every single dish, and each one of them is named as he's eating them. And it's true. They did a really good job of it. So watch that Simpsons episode. It's phenomenal. So top in my household this time of year, king cake, which is going to go away now as of Wednesday. You can only get it during carnival season. Beignets, another dessert. We're a big dessert heavy house. We love Juan's Flying Burrito. The Flying Burrito there, which is a Creole Mexican fusion dish. It's just absolutely phenomenal. I think we ate two when we were there last weekend each. And honestly, anything you ask a local, where do you like to eat? Get yourself a po' boy with your favorite ingredients. Go to Giacomo's, eat everything they have. And make sure if you're there when it's hot, you get a snowball, which is, for those outside of New Orleans, kind of like a snow cone, but somehow better.
Also, you know, there's different seasons in terms of what comes in for fresh fish and seafood, so you want to be kind of following with that as well. So like, if you're a big fan of crawfish, this would be the time to go.
Yes, we are currently in crawfish season. There were folks selling crawfish just on the street. There were folks having crawfish boils at home. There's a really good episode on Netflix of New Orleans Street Food, too, and they highlight Miss Linda's Yakamain, which is a phenomenal street food dish. Miss Linda is just a wonderful human being, and it's definitely a New Orleans special, kind of something that locals know the most about. Really phenomenal sort of mix of ramen and, like, gumbo. It's not describing it as well as I could, but it's pretty awesome.
Oh, and one other sandwich I got to say besides the po' boy, and that's the muffuletta.
Yes.
Just love that sandwich. Yeah,
of course. And okay. New Orleans has great fried chicken. I mean, we could go on it. We could talk food for days.
Okay, so the beignets are kind of like donuts. And the poor boy sandwiches I've heard of, but what's on them exactly?
You can get all the toppings you desire, but as Kelly said, right now would be a great time to get crawfish, shrimp po' boys, Liuza's by the Tracks, which is right next to Jazz Fest, where that's held, has the best, in my opinion, and a lot of other folks, barbecue shrimp po' boy, which their New Orleans barbecue shrimp actually is a very heavily buttered shrimp, not barbecue sauce, but like soaked in garlic butter. It's just phenomenal. Then in the fall, oysters, summer fall oysters are more in season, and oyster po' boys are just absolutely incredible. Roast beef po' boys, if you're not a seafood person.
Oh, and the ones with French fries and roast beef.
Yeah. Just in case you felt like you were being a little too healthy, throw some French fries into your po' boy, and you're all good.
Well, I have never been to New Orleans myself, but I have been to Louisiana, and we went to a seafood place there, and I had what I thought was a really funny experience because I ordered crab because I like crab, and I, you know, around here, crab is not fresh. But we got to try some alligator as one of the appetizers, and we were kind of like, what's this going to taste like? And we tried it, and we were like, oh, it's like fried clams. And when we said that to the waitress, she looked at us in just horror that we would eat clams. And I just thought that was funny because, you know, up here, that would be kind of our idea about alligator.
There is an awesome alligator po' boy that you can get at a place called Cooter Brown's, which is on the streetcar line, very close to Giacomo's and the Maple Leaf Bar. And Cooter Brown's has just phenomenal po' boys generally, but their alligator po' boy in particular, they're kind of known for. And it's funny, I think everyone sort of thinks alligator tastes like something. I think it tastes a little like chicken. I don't know. It tastes better than I think I thought it would and than most people think it does.
I think that neighborhood in general has just really good po' boys. So, last time a little bit away from what you're talking about, but we went to Frankie and Johnny's, which I just love that restaurant.
Yes.
And got po' boys. Okay, this is like a embarrassing story, but we went to Frankie and Johnny's, but we also wanted to go to Don Melissa's. So,
yeah.
and we were running out of time, right? So we went to Frankie and Johnny's, and I was like, okay, everyone just like, you know, we're going to split some po' boys and have some drinks, and then we'll just walk down the street to Don Melissa's and do the same. But my kids didn't really understand what we were doing or whatever. So we had our meal, and then we walked down like the six blocks or whatever down to Don Melissa's, and we got there, and they had just closed for the day. They were a little short-staffed, so they had closed. And me and my husband were so sad because we would have done reverse order had we known. And then
of
at
course.
That point, the kids are like, what are you sad about? We were like, well, we were going to get lunch here. And they were like, you just had lunch. We were like, yeah, we had like half a lunch because we're going to have our other half at this restaurant.
Sorry, that's a very New Orleanian thing to do. So the saying in New Orleans is let's have lunch and talk about dinner, right? So you're constantly thinking about like, okay, what's the next thing, the next food I'm going to get, and making sure you get to all of the great po' boy places and get plenty of each is definitely a very NOLA thing to do. And everyone's on New Orleans time, by the way, so it's very common for a place to maybe not open up right when they say they're going to, or maybe a little bit early. So also a very New Orleanian thing to show up.
You have to be very flexible.
Very flexible, as well with travel plans. Like you mentioned, the airport. I feel like even the airport runs a little bit on New Orleans time.
Right.
I'm sure, unless you're counting on that.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Well, we've actually filled up our half hour. So is there anything else you want to talk about, Kelly?
Okay, I'll just say a couple words about like higher end restaurants. And then maybe Tracy can talk just a little bit about going during Mardi Gras, if that's okay?
Yep.
Okay. So I've been very lucky to go to some very nice restaurants in New Orleans. I got to say, of the ones I've tried so far, my favorite is Commander's Palace. It's very opulent looking, and the food is amazing. But even though it looks very hoity-toity, I've always had very good experiences there in terms of the wait staff and making me feel very comfortable and welcome, and it's a very friendly experience. So that would be like the one I think, you know, when I think about going back, that I'm probably going to be going back to. Maybe I'll just say that for my high, and then instead on the opposite end of the spectrum, one of my other very favorite places to go in New Orleans is a little convenience store called the Verde Mart that makes
Verde Mart.
The most amazing food. They make po' boys, but they make other food as well. And it's in the French Quarter. And it does not look like much. But, you know, if you want really good food, really inexpensive, that is the place to go. And again, make you feel welcome.
Yeah.
What?
The spinach artichoke dip at Verde Mart is top of my food list in New Orleans. There's also a little gas station on Magazine that has the most phenomenal gyros. It's funny. There's these little places you'd never know about that have the best food. And Commander's Palace, highly, highly recommend the Sunday jazz brunch, where jazz musicians are actually walking around to tables and playing music for you live as you're eating. If you make it to Commander's, try to go for Sunday brunch, but reservations definitely far out are recommended. I love Commander's Palace as well. Going during Mardi Gras, I'll say right now we're actually in peak Mardi Gras season, or what some folks are referring to now as deep gras, which is the Thursday night before Mardi Gras Day, all the way through to Mardi Gras Day itself. There are parades leading up to that time for several weeks, and there are smaller parades even prior to that. One that I would love to go to with Kelly and her family is Chewbacca's, which is a very sci-fi themed parade. I'm a member of the Vampiric Council of New Orleans, which celebrates all things vampire and marches as vampires. Shout out to the gentleman who dressed as Colin Robinson and had a sign that had many things that he knew people in New Orleans would boo him for, such as Go Falcons, which is our rival football team. So he was a wonderful energy vampire. Just really cool, fun, homemade costumes, homemade parade floats earlier in the season. Even things such as the Barkus Parade, which is entirely dog royalty. Actually, I saw a couple of cats sneak in this year, I think, which was very avant-garde. But floats that the owners make, costumes for the dogs that the owners make. There is a king and queen of Barkus. There are walking crews or marching crews, which I'm a member of the Dames de Perlage. We actually hand bead, hand sew our own corsets, headdresses, bustle belts, all in the style of Mardi Gras Indian beading, beautiful glass beads. And every year we have a theme, and every year we march in multiple parades. There are dancing crews, like the Sirens, or my favorite, the Disco Amigos, who are just phenomenal. The 610 Stompers are a band of, what do they call themselves? Ordinary Men, Extraordinary Moves. They're kind of known for being a lot of fun, not the greatest dancers, but out there on the route, no matter what, given their heart and soul, and they're so much fun to watch and to be a part of. And then, of course, there's the big, beautiful parade. So everything from kind of smaller local parades. I'm now a member of the parade crew Themis, which we celebrate social justice and diversity and inclusion. Our color is purple, which Kelly will know I'm all about. And we're an all-female parade that just has a blast throwing beautiful beads, but also our signature throw, which every parade has a signature throw, is a sequined parasol that the members of the crew actually decorate themselves and throw from the float in the style of other parades, such as Muses, who throw shoes that they've hand-decorated, Zulu, which throws coconuts. There's really something for everyone at Mardi Gras, the marching bands, the dance crews.
How big are these
there's
parasols?
There's so much to say.
How big are these parasols?
So the parasols that we do are designed to be like second-line parasols. So they're really doll umbrellas. They're kind of 8 inches across, if you think of them that way. We will glitter them, hand glitter them. We'll do artistic transfers on top. So I have one like of Queen Elizabeth's face, but from, you know, some pretty famous like pop culture references. There's a number of just beautiful designs that the women have done, as well as some simpler designs and some local designs that are sort of more regional, but many of them are social justice themed, and lots of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, lots of really great diversity, equity, and inclusion themes. It's a fun parade, and it's relatively new versus some of the parades that have been taking to the streets of New Orleans for hundreds of years. So lots for everyone to see and to enjoy and experience.
So if Kelly had said that if someone was going down and they wanted to be in a parade, there was a way to do that. Did I understand that right?
There's many different ways to be in a parade. You can look to some of the parade crews. So, for example, our crew of Themis, which is T-H-E-M-I-S. She's the Goddess of Justice. We are still taking new members for next year and years beyond. That's really because we're a newer crew. There are also some very small walking crews and some more local parades where you can decide that you'd really love to join a crew that's going to be in Chewbacca's, for example. The Lagerettes, I believe, I don't think I'm botching their name, are a bunch of Princess Leias who walk in the street together. You know, dozens of Leias walking the street is a pretty cool sight. And there are many, many other examples that if you have an interest, you can look up whether they have a parade that is somehow affiliated, and you're likely to find something. And many of them are taking new members.
Well, thank you. That's just great. So any last words about visiting New Orleans?
I would just say, again, I think it's good to have some plans to be thinking about, you know, what your budget is, what's really important to you, and who's traveling with you and what's going to be important to them. But then, like with any trip, you know, you want to be flexible and you want to kind of go with the flow some of the times as well. So, you know, don't be so rigid with your plans that you don't stop to enjoy the music, the food, and the sights along the way.
And I would just add the one thing that I should have said about Mardi Gras earlier is that there's certainly a misconception that Mardi Gras is only for adults. You can definitely find your adult-only sections of Mardi Gras, especially on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. But in the more neighborhood areas of Mardi Gras, the parades are actually more similar to a giant family block party or picnic where everyone brings their kids. Even babies are there, you know, all the way up through older kiddos. Kids are playing together in the streets, which are blocked off. And adults are just having a great time making new friends and really watching over one another's kids together. It's a lovely family experience. We take our kids every year.
Well, thank you very much for being on, Kelly and Tracy. I appreciate all the great talk about New Orleans, and hopefully maybe we'll have you back on to talk about something else.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay. And with that, we are at the end of our travel times, and hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode and that you'll want to check out some of the ones we did before. I want to remind you to look all around the web for Trundlebed Tales and to brighten the corner where you are. Thank you for listening, and we'll find you next time on Trundlebed Tales.